Welcome to another episode of Disney News Weekly. Tonight we are discussing Incredibles 2, Pixar Pier, and the Tokyo Disney Sea expansion. Hold on to your butts.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Woo!
Hey everybody, welcome.
Sarah is lit!
Lit! Disney News Weekly, get hype!
Get hype, especially quoting Jurassic Park with Jurassic World coming out this week.
Yes! Woo! We don't talk about that on this channel!
You said hold on to your butts, that is a Jurassic Park quote.
That is my catchphrase!
That you stole from Jurassic Park.
Welcome to Disney News Weekly, everybody. I'm Sarah, we're here on the Popcorn Talk, ready to talk Disney News.
Jurassic Park!
There is a floating Mickey hat in the ride at Universal, so it qualifies.
That's true. For now. They're redoing
the
ride.
For now, yeah, they're going to redo it, yeah.
What's up, everybody? How we doing on
this fine
Wednesday evening?
Hello, chat and Super Iron Halo calling me out for not being on the show frequently lately.
Guys, I didn't get the black memo. What are you guys sad about?
I'm trying to change the world.
Oh, you're changing the world. Yeah. Sarah's just,
More black.
Dark and mysterious.
Oh, thank you guys for the compliment on my haircut. For those of you listening via podcast, so you don't get to see it.
No. You know what? If you follow him on Instagram,
yes,
you can
right.
see it.
Dude, there's a lot of news this week, huh?
They say there is a lot of news?
Yeah, there is. There is.
There is. And there
it's, like, not a ton, but the news that it did come out is pretty interesting, I think.
Yeah, definitely some interesting tidbits.
Some
yeah.
big bombs dropped.
And, good, and stuff coming up as well, too.
Yeah.
Between now and the next episode. This
oh,
is
yeah.
like an interim
oh,
episode.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the Kool-Aid man now?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what's all what's coming up between this episode and next episode, guys?
Pixar Pier.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah, Sarah is going to
also,
Pixar
it's
Pier.
Also VidCon this weekend, and Sunday is VidCon Disney Day, so Sarah and I will be at Disneyland on Sunday, meeting all of y'all that follow us here on YouTube or just on social media in general. So if you are in the area, Sunday would be a great day to go to the parks, because we'll be there hanging out.
You know what's interesting and hilarious?
What?
I didn't even tell Leo this. I heard that there's a rumor floating around that there's going to be a Thingamavlogs reunion at VidCon.
What?
Yeah, that's not happening.
The members of Thingamavlogs are unaware of this rumor?
I heard the rumor from a source today.
There's only four sources that matter.
And, also, what if you just are all happen to be there at the same
time? I know,
time?
Does anytime we all hang out count as a Thingamavlogs reunion?
But speak on that note, actually, I will be at VidCon itself. We're not just going to the Disney Day. Friday is the only day I will be attending VidCon, and if you are there and you see me, grab me and say hi. But grab me. Just grab me. Leo! It's an emergency! I need a selfie. I will be performing in the Creator's Lounge, so unfortunately you won't be able to watch unless you have a Creator's Badge or you have a friend that does, or have some way of sneaking in, but at 2:30, 3 o'clock, I will be performing with Heather Traska. We will be singing A Whole New World in the Creator's Lounge.
Can you give me a little bit of that harmony you were practicing just a second ago? Just one little light? Just...
I'll chase them anywhere. Oh. There's time to spare.
Oh, there he goes. There he goes.
He's known that, like, since I met him.
Yeah, I didn't have to, like, learn it for this one. But yeah. But it is a definite, it's a slowed down version. We're like R&B-ing.
Oh, wait, are you
Peebo Bryson.
No, we went back to, we R&B'd the Disney, the original one, mm-hmm. the movie
Oh,
one.
You are?
Yeah, the Peebo Bryson one is just, it's so mixed.
It's so hard to do.
It's much harder. It's a different key, but we could adjust that. But, like, all the parts are swapped at the end. So it's not, so we would have essentially had to relearn the song. We're like, nah, we don't got time for that.
Well, someday, Leo, we'll do karaoke together. And
Thursday night, Scum and Villainy.
You
want to come? Meet
wait,
me there.
Really? Yeah. Tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go.
You're going to go? Karaoke. You're going to go see karaoke?
Yeah, I think
if
so.
If you sing A Whole New World with me, I will come.
Well, no, you can't do A Whole New World karaoke because it's only the Peebo version, and I cannot sing it.
Oh, then I don't want to sing it.
I know because I've tried at many a karaoke
I have too, and it just blows up in your face.
Okay, well.
We tried. Until next time.
To be continued. Hey, Scum and Villainy, Aladdin, all Disney related, it qualifies.
It's true. You want to get this going?
Let's go. Rev
all right.
Up.
So the biggest, I think, or one of the biggest things that happened this week was Disney, announced the new heads of both Pixar Animation and Walt Disney Studios Animation.
That's kind
of
massive news.
Yeah, well, it's been speculated about for as long as John Lasseter has been revealed to be a creeper. Mm. What's interesting is, so before, John Lasseter was head of both.
Yes.
And now they have separate figureheads, which is, I think, a good thing.
I think it's a good thing.
I think having all the power with one person is, like, a lot.
Yeah, well, clearly we saw that that doesn't necessarily hold up.
Yeah, too many inappropriate hugs.
Yeah, well, but look at the last, I mean, one can argue the last, like, 2 years have been pretty great, the last 2.5 years, 3 years, but, like, I feel like there has been some major changes happening, but before that, look at that clump of movies that we got.
Yeah.
Like, on both the Disney side, Disney was coming up, but they weren't the most fantastic. I mean, you could argue that Frozen was, but, I mean, as a film overall, it's a little, you know. And then all of the Pixar movies were sort of plateauing a little bit.
Well, I think John got in charge of Disney movies because Pixar had been doing so well. And then, like, Disney started doing really well. And then, like, the plateau. Yeah, no.
I think it will definitely...
It's just hard.
Yeah, and I think it's... By separating it out with two people, it's going to allow the creative kind of... I just think things will become more creative. Mm. And
But do you think they'll become gatekeepers, sort of like Kathleen Kennedy is for Star Wars?
Oh, Kathleen Kennedy. She's done so much good, but yet some things. I'm like, well, how did you let that through?
She's a true gray Jedi, right?
Yeah. No, that's a great way to describe her. I don't know. I think both of these, both Pete and Jennifer have
done... We
didn't
even say who they are.
Oh, sorry. Pete Docter, Jennifer Lee.
I thought you did. I'm sorry.
Pete Docter is going to run Pixar Animation. Jennifer Lee is going to run Walt Disney Animation Studios, which is crazy. We have a woman running Disney Animation.
Yay!
Not crazy.
I mean, it's good.
That's contemporary progress. Thinking, yeah. What's his name?
Pete Docter.
Pete Docter looks like a character out of the Iron Giant. So that's good that he's running Pixar.
Pete Docter, if you weren't aware, directed Monsters, Inc., Up, and Inside Out. Mm-hmm. He's been at Pixar forever.
He looks very young. That might be an old picture.
He looks young.
He's actually 3,000 years old.
he has a treehouse in his yard.
Oh, then he's young.
Fun
forever.
Fact.
Oh,
he's cool.
That's the kind of guy you want running.
Yeah, he's cool in my.
He's really cool. He and he's worked on like every other Pixar movie. He worked on Toy Story 1 and 2. He worked on WALL-E. He's working on Toy Story 4.
He worked at Epcot. Says garlic bread it.
Oh. Yeah, I didn't know that.
He was a Parks nerd.
Jennifer Lee, if you didn't know, oh my God, she's done so much as well. She directed Frozen and Frozen 2 and Frozen Fever, but also worked on Wreck-It Ralph, Zootopia.
All the winners.
Wrinkle in Time, lot of the recent.
You spoke a little soon.
I spoke too soon.
But yeah, she's like, she's definitely like new age. What is it called? The revival era. Disney. So
New Ren.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you saying, Keaton, before I was like...
Oh, I just think you just reminded me with what Jennifer Lee has done is like I think she has a very modern take on kind of this typically child's medium of animation. And I think if you just think about those movies that she's worked on, Zootopia, Frozen. We don't need to talk about Frozen Fever, but I'm sure Frozen 2 is the rumors that there's going to be, like, Elsa's going to be a lesbian. I don't know. They're just modern ideas that are
Jennifer Lee was the one who was like, I hear you.
Yeah. And so these are, like, really modern things and things that, like, kids are dealing with today that if you can introduce them to it and start a conversation with them in a tactful way and in a beautiful story, it's great.
That's what Zootopia is.
Yeah. Zootopia is just,
that
like,
is
you know.
The plot of Zootopia.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Jody Petrella is saying that Sarah and Leo should be in charge of Disney. Okay. Keaton, if you had to put Sarah and I in charge of one of the studios, who would get which?
Wait, of the two that those two have?
Yeah, yeah. So which one of us...
Would get Pixar and which one of you would get animation?
Yeah, me and Sarah.
Oh. Ooh.
I would be in charge of Parks and Resorts, but okay.
Okay, that's not...
I think I would give Sarah Pixar.
You give Sarah Pixar.
I think that's correct.
I think, yeah, and I'd give you Disney.
I thought it would go the other way.
I thought that at first, but you love all the new stuff Disney Studios is doing.
I do, but I feel like...
Sarah,
I feel
way more than I love Pixar.
Yeah, but I think Pixar is more like zap-bop-a-doo, and Disney's more like classic.
But I think that's why it would be good for it to be swapped in this revival.
So we could talk.
Is because I think,
Be like, hey, I need your advice.
And also, I just think, I'm not going to say that out loud. I don't want to insult you.
Yeah, because in reality, it's... No, it's okay. In reality, Sarah would be in charge of parks, for sure. and then that would put me in charge of Star Wars. Let's be real.
You would take Kathleen Kennedy on, and yeah. Sarah would be like, I'm an Imagineer, the king of the Imagineers.
I have to say, in the chat, Zeke was like, whatever happened, when you guys were talking about A Whole New World, he was like, whatever happened to that guy who sang both parts of A Whole New World on YouTube?
Oh,
that
Nick Patera.
Is Nick Patera.
That's our boy.
Is a background artist at Pixar.
Yeah, he's an environment artist.
Coming up on his 10th year working at Pixar, he sang the Triple Dent Gum theme song.
Inside Out.
And he's all up in Pixar, yeah, so he's it all is in relevant. Pixar.
Actually, he's just releasing a new album right now. He still does his own independent music, as well as Disney covers. You can follow him on YouTube at Nick Patera. Check him out. He's our... Oh, we love him. He's such a sweetheart.
Yeah,
he's
it's relevant, because Pixar.
We just saw him when we went up there. He's so nice to always
see. Patera.
Patera. You know, he's saying Aladdin and Jasmine. You've seen his video?
Yes, I have seen his stuff. Oh, I know exactly who this is. I don't know him personally, but... He has a very strong jaw.
He's the strongest jaw. It makes me cry at night.
He looks like a Disney prince. He looks like the real life Hans. That's what he looks like. Sorry.
Collab.
Anyway, speaking of Pixar, Incredibles 2 is breaking box office records.
With its fists.
Pew, pew, pew.
I just want to say I feel responsible for,
Leo, you cannot take credit for everything.
See it, because I was really stoked about it. No, we saw it. It is... We all saw it at the same time.
We did get to see it together.
Well, that was Sarah's round two. Phenomenal movie.
We'll talk about it at the end.
Okay.
Because you missed our non-spoiler discussion that I had with Aldi.
Oh, is that not here? Oh, that's right.
But we're going to do spoiler discussion later.
Oh, we are? We're going to spoil it?
I think if we have time at the end, we'll talk about the movie again.
Gotta stop talking about random stuff.
Incredibles 2 had a box office number of 23.6 million on Monday. So that was its weekend number.
Now, keep in mind, that ain't some Marvel number, but... For an animated movie.
Best ever for an animated movie.
It's huge.
It's very good.
And didn't it knock...
Shrek.
Yeah, so now Disney has 9 of the top 10 grossing movies ever.
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 It's the best Monday number for an animated movie ever, beating Shrek 2, which held the record for 14 years with 23.4 million.
Which one?
Shrek 2.
And Shrek 2.
Scratch 2.
That's my favorite Disney movie, Shrek.
Scratch.
And it's the second best Monday in June so far. Okay, cool.
286.4 million worldwide, says Sky Patterson in chat.
Yeah, it's already going up. This was its opening weekend number.
Not too shab.
Mm-hmm. And...
Well deserved. First of all, the marketing efforts on this film. Holy Sarah and I, we can't stop talking about it. There's so many commercials for The Incredibles going around right now. There's so much product placement in every major
store.
You guys,
the merchandise that they have already put out for this stuff. I saw this fun little Jack-Jack and...
No, when we went to Pixar, they gave us, I'm not even joking, they gave us a satchel of Incredibles toys. Like so many Incredibles. And we're like, we can't play with these.
I hope you donated them.
We did.
Okay.
I can't believe Frozen wasn't even like up there.
Well, because nobody saw that coming.
It was a new movie.
Nobody saw that coming.
So was like Black Panther. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Black Panther was like really anticipated.
There was cultural
where
hype.
Frozen was like.
But it's like, you know, when hype is building and like people are like, oh, this movie, and then they go see it. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm just surprised.
But like Frozen, I didn't get hype about, and like I love Disney. I didn't see Frozen until maybe it was already out for 3 weeks because like I've been like, I was like, what is this? Because usually like when Frozen came out, Disney Animation really didn't prove anything to me yet.
They weren't on any kind of run.
So I was like, I would wait to go see them. But now like Disney Animation is like up on the same level with Pixar stuff.
You know, it's funny because I remember when Frozen came out, I remember my exact thinking was, well, I really like Tangled, you know? And, you know, obviously we're going to go see every... I was already going to see it just because it was Disney. But that was the distinct thought I had. And I walked out and I was like, that was fine, but it was no Tangled. And then it started becoming a phenomenon. I'm like, Tangled is a far... And still to this day, Sarah
and I... better movie.
No, like, I was going to say, Tangled is a better movie than Frozen.
But again, they were going with original properties. And I think just like the dual princess thing instead of like the boy-girl... dual adventure thing was just like such a strong point.
Sister princesses, and
magical snowman.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. This is an interesting thing that people have been talking about a lot with Lasseter leaving. A lot of people are like, will 2D animation come back at all? Because he was really the one who pushed it out. what do you think? I have a very strongly formed opinion about it.
Okay, let's talk. I don't think it'll come back in any sort of mainstream manner. I think Princess and the Frog was sort of like...
This is our last one.
A farewell sort of movie, just because they're so expensive to make, especially now, because there's... Everyone's a 3D animator now. To get 2D animators on that scale again, it's like in the Renaissance period, sure, they were still expensive to make, but there was probably a pool of animators because there was no other option. Now, the process is so streamlined that it's apples and oranges in terms of cost. It's not even close. And I think that we might get shorts. I just don't think that we'll get a full feature. What do you think?
I disagree.
Maybe not. I'm not saying ever.
I think we're going to get more of a mixture now. I hope, and I really hope we do too, because I love the classic animation stuff. And honestly, you can do a lot of that classic animation look with like more computer animated technology.
Like Maui's Tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, those
you
were
can
handheld.
Do that. And so I think it's going to be, I think they're going to be working on new technology and they're going to be trying new things and new styles of the traditional kind of Pixar-y animation we're used to seeing and like maybe scaling it down a little bit to look more like the classic animated.
Yes, well, that's still CGI. Give me a Paperman style movie.
That's what I was 2D. Thinking. But that's still 3D animation. That's
right.
Not 2D animation.
It just looks flat. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's possible.
Guys, it's Disney Studios almost shut down like two times during the Disney like Renaissance period when animation was at its peak. And they still almost closed down the animation studios.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened a lot. I don't think it's going to happen. In my mind, I was like, maybe they would do like one thing where it's like, 2D is back for this one movie, but I really don't think it's going to happen.
Maybe a section of the movie. Maybe like a TV show within a movie or something like that.
Like how Minnie Maui is 2D.
Minnie Maui, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In Harry Potter during the Deathly Hallows story.
Yeah, so Animation Geek is pointing out animation kind of like the new Spider-Man and Spider-Verse animation, though,
right.
But that's still 3D animation.
Right.
Just because it looks 2D like Paperman does not mean it was 2D animated. What that means is there's an artist with a pencil,
sheet for sheet,
cell for cell for cell, drawing every frame of animation. Spider-Man has a stop-motion skip frame mechanic within it that makes it look like it's 2D animated, but it is 100%, and it is cel-shaded, and that adds to 2D animation's sort of aesthetic, but it's 3D.
But look at the 2D animation like cartoons that are out now and how big like the 2D animated cartoons are.
But those are still done.
Exactly, yeah, but I think we're still going... I think we're going to start getting more styles like that in... feature length form.
I don't know if that's but that's still computer. It's not hand drawn animation. A lot of it's joint animation, which means that like there are particular joints in the characters that are allowed to move. Rick and Morty is animated that way, for example, but it's still done via a program, like it's not Flash because Flash is dead. But programs like that where they use keyframe CGI animation, they'll draw like South Park. They'll draw like the main character. And then they move it in a computer and then redraw parts in the computer. So there's like 2D elements, but...
In the computer.
Yeah, in the computer.
No, I honestly do not know as much about this as like you guys do, but I just want it to... I want to see another movie. Like
I think we want to see it again, but this is what I think adults need to understand. I was having this conversation actually with a person at Disney. And he was reminding me, like, we were talking about, like, Jungle Book and you know, like, a lot of the really, like, older Disney movies. And I was like, oh, I wish I could get my nephews to watch the Jungle Book. They only want to watch Cars. And he was like, that is their Jungle Book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we have to get over that our Disney Renaissance isn't going to be the favorites of new generations. And they want what they want, and it's going in a certain direction, and it's hard to go back in time. He also gave me the example of, like, if they made the Tiki Room today, no one would want to see it.
Right.
Like, you can't
go back. It's
different
sensibilities now.
To doing, like, an audio animatronic show.
Right. We have too many options now. Like, a lot of the times these things were released in an ecosystem where there was no other grander competition. Like, Jungle Book was the cutting edge of its time, but clearly now there is far more sophisticated technology to create animation.
But like
than
it's
Jungle
just
Book.
Like how sometimes, you know, people when they're making movies will film on film still, even though digital obviously is, you know, the forefront of filmmaking now because it's easier, it's cheaper, it's quicker.
Right.
But still people are picking up like, no, I'm gonna shoot this on
for
real
aesthetic.
Film. Yeah, for aesthetic purposes.
But I would say that it doesn't cost them necessarily that. You know what I mean? Like, the cost isn't as...
Yes, it is.
You think so? You think that the cost to make, to shoot something on film
is
the same
as a gap? You know how expensive film is and how, like, and once you shoot it, that's it. You can't, like, go back and just delete on the camera. Like, film is film and, like...
No, sure, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more expensive.
But, yes, but is the margin as big as CGI to animation? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a huge gap. It's, like, massive.
I mean, but people who are doing, like, CGI animation as well, I mean, you look at stuff on Jungle Book and the details in the new Jungle Book.
At the CGI. And,
like, the people have to spend on, like, the computer, drawing on the computer versus drawing by hand.
Sure.
I mean, you know, some people might say it's apple and oranges, but, like, that's still a lot of human effort and time.
It is. No, absolutely. No, CGI, they still are going through a lot. The difference is that once you create the model, you can infinitely animate it. I mean, it still has to – you have to go through modeling and rigging. But once you have those core elements, which are the most time-consuming, then it's animation. With Jungle Book, you're doing it every single piece of paper. Right.
I wasn't saying that kids want only CGI stuff.
No,
I'm saying we as adults have to get over that.
That's no
we
longer.
Think CGI isn't as good. CGI is an art form.
It is an art form
in itself. Just because it's not the one that we grew up with doesn't mean that it's not beautiful and good.
An animation geek was saying that it would be cool to see things like Spider-Man, and I agree. It's like Paper-Man and Spider-Man, innovative ways of using 3D. Like you were saying, like even if it was done like cartoons are on TV, where it looks drawn and it has like hand-drawn elements,
Disney
but on a grander
that.
Scale.
Tangled, totally. The Tangled show, right?
That's the Tangled show. That's a great example.
Yeah,
that's a perfect example.
Totally.
But would they convert that to a movie format is the question.
Right.
Like, how do you make that look even more polished?
Anyways,
moving on. We can talk about this forever.
We could just talk about this forever.
But it is a cool topic.
I put another discussion topic in the lineup that's kind of similar to this. So, yeah. Lol. Anyway, but onto the parks news. Pixar Pier, as we mentioned briefly, is opening this weekend. And something that will not be open this weekend, but open later this summer, is the Bing Bong's Sweet Stuff store. Which seems to be like a kind of Candy Palace location on Pixar Pier. And Disney Parks blog posted some of the treats that are going to be in Bing Bong's store. So there's these Woody and Buzz cake pops.
I want to eat it.
There's a few crazy apples.
Bing Bong. Oh, look at the unicorn!
Bing Bong and unicorn. That unicorn looks like it has like five marshmallows on it.
Yeah, that's definitely a health hazard. Do you think that the Bing Bong is cotton candy flavored?
I don't know how they would do that.
It would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, white chocolate, just flavor it with cotton candy.
I guess so. I guess that's true, yeah.
And then we have taffy.
Just a sugar high.
Are you a taffy person?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't like saltwater taffy
And then
either.
These cute
Get rid of it, horns. Disney.
Ew. I think all those look gross.
Yeah, why is Joy every single one of them?
I don't know.
Why isn't she just Joy?
Yeah, why
some
can't
people
she...
want all the colors, and obviously.
Well, then they should make
a Riley one.
A Riley bag.
They should. They should have.
And why is it no? I want disgust flavored popcorn.
No. I didn't even realize.
Puke flavor.
Anyway,
earwax, boogers, and grass.
Oh my goodness! So yeah, Bing Bong's Sweet Stuff will be open later this summer. Who's going to Pixar Pier this weekend, y'all?
Oh, man. Zeke is saying, feel the candy disappear in your mouth like Bing Bong from Riley's memory.
Oh, my God.
You win comment of the night, sir. Well done.
I went to Disneyland last weekend, so I think I'm going to take a week off. And also, it's going to be crazy. Mm. This weekend's going to be crazy, guys.
It certainly is.
I mean, I don't get to walk around with plaids, so...
Really?
What?
Yeah?
I don't.
No, we don't.
So I'm not going to go this weekend, but have fun. Let me know how it is.
Maybe go Sunday. It might be fun.
Hey, you know, maybe
I'm
I have
sure
a photo
we'll walk
shoot.
Around.
Yeah, we're going to walk
I have
around.
A photo shoot Sunday morning. Maybe I'll come Sunday night.
Oh. Excuse. I have a photo shoot.
She's a model.
hashtag model. Hashtag
I don't know
sponsor.
If, like, we'll see how long the lines are on Sunday, but we're definitely going to go to that area.
I'm going to text you guys on Sunday and be like,
we'll
what's
walk around.
It like?
Yeah, just let us know.
I'll just be like, what's
Would
going
you
on, guys?
Wait 2 hours for the Incredicoaster, Leo?
How many line games do you know?
I would.
I'm going tomorrow.
so jealous.
I'm very excited.
She's covering it. She's covering it. Dude.
I know. I'm so excited for you and like jealous at the same time. It's like weird emotions.
I'm like wondering if I should wear my GoPro on my body to do ride footage of the Incredicoaster.
If only if that'd it can face neat. Your face.
Like, yeah, but that's the thing is, I know I have a chest strap, but then that thing goes over your chest. And also, I'll be screaming. So how good is the footage?
No, you won't be. You'll be Incredicoastering.
I'll be like, no, I'm going to scream.
No, that's the old ride.
But I'm really excited because I get to eat at Lamplight, and I'm very excited about that. And that's like the thing I'm most excited
about. Is Lamplight what they turned Ariel's Grotto into?
Yeah.
Garlic Bread is asking, why is it so busy? It's opening weekend and...
Of Pixar Pier.
And it's VidCon weekend with Disney Day on Sunday. It's going to be a crazy weekend.
It's going to be a madhouse.
But I'm like, I kind of like, I enjoy it because I don't care about the rides anymore. Because it's like, if I get on a ride, that's cool. If I don't, that's fine,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I like, I kind of like the energy when it's a different crowd. Because events like this are always a very different crowd than a standard weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not as touristy. It's a little more in crowd, and it's fun. It's, like, electric, you know?
Mm-hmm. Boogie, woogie, woogie, woogie. Sorry, you said that. we can just glaze over. Just continue, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Anyway, another big, really exciting thing that happened is that a huge expansion was announced for Tokyo DisneySea. If you don't know how Tokyo DisneySea is laid out, it is centered around
the entire island of water. Japan is Tokyo Sea. It's huge.
What are you talking about? Are you being funny?
Yeah.
I was really confused. I was like, wait, what?
No, it's not. It's just a massive theme park. It's humongous.
So it's water themed. And so there's different, there's not lands, there's ports. And so there's different ports that are based off different land-based areas or fictional areas. And so this new port based on fantasy was announced that will have three areas based on three different Disney movies.
Mm-hmm. That have water in them.
Frozen.
At some point.
Frozen.
Kinda, you know.
Evaporation.
Frozen is on water. They got all that water right there.
The parents literally died on a boat.
They literally died on a boat.
I get it. It's got
Neverland.
Neverland is
literally an island.
That's the one that makes the most sense.
And Corona. Literally an island.
Which is where the boat was sailing. They're connected by harbors.
Wait, no. What is Corona?
From like the
Tangled?
Oh.
Yes.
I was like, what?
It's the Mexican Gulf.
You didn't know that Rapunzel's from beer.
I did not know that Rapunzel's from beer. I knew I liked her. Like I knew she was like my fave.
So this is really interesting.
It's interesting because it's
IP,
first of all, which that park has no.
No,
it has Little Mermaid.
It has.
Remember, we actually
Aladdin.
Talked about this in Japan. You were like, this park has no IP. I'm like,
well,
what about
I was
Aladdin?
Like,
what
this park is popular because it has less IP in the same way that Epcot is popular because it has less IP. Yeah.
But at least they're choosing, like, kingdoms with pretty distinct aesthetics, and that kind of goes well with the theme of the park. Because even Ariel's area, it's IP, but it's like the underwater kingdom. And then you have like, oh yeah, this is Aladdin, but it's like the Arabian area. And then, you know, Jules Verne area, which is not, Disney IP related at all, but it's very cool, very steampunk, and they each have their own flavor.
What
their own,
is
like
that?
1920s
Oh, that's
area.
The new hotel that's also coming.
I was like, that does not look IP to me at all.
No.
Yeah.
But it's a fantasy little hotel. But yeah, like Corona has that sort of flowery French sort of
it's German.
German, whatever. What
Rapunzel's
is it? What's
German,
the,
yeah.
Yeah, but what's the area that I'm thinking of? It's like between like Germany and France. Like what's the
I don't know.
Oh, wait, you guys, I got my DNA results have this.
Oh, my gosh.
Hold up. Time out.
Like Scandinavian?
It's like, I think it's like, hold
that's
up.
That's Frozen, right? Scandinavian. And then what was the other one? Peter Pan, which is like high fantasy.
Yeah, high fantasy.
Well, and Peter Pan's neat. Also England, too. Well, no, they're going to just be on the island.
Anyway, I think it's cool. I think it'll
Western
be
European.
Yeah. Tokyo has the money to do things really, really well. Because they are not... they're not owned. They're owned by the Oriental Land Company, which funds everything. So it's going to be really good. The other discussion that I wanted to have alongside
this.
Strasbourg,
that's what I was thinking of.
What?
Strasbourg, that's what I was thinking of.
The other discussion I wanted to have that kind of was similar to the 2D animation discussion, and we should keep it short, is will we ever see non-IP lands or attractions again?
At where?
At Disney Parks.
Any park?
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I feel like that's such an old school Disney way of thinking, and like the American dollar has changed sort of that model a little bit, where it's just so much safer to go with an IP. You've already got all of your creative essentially done. I mean, you're modifying it for the parks, of course, but you already know what the aesthetic is going to look like. Your art directors are now just fine-tuning. Also, it's such a... I mean, it is just such a huge gamble to do something new. You don't know if it's going to be a real draw. I mean, we were just watching a documentary on, like, Tomorrowland, Discovery Mountain in Paris specifically, that it was supposed to be what Japan ended up getting was what there's Space Mountain Mission 2 area was supposed to be, but it was cut down and, like, nobody attended. So they had to, like, completely revamp the entire area and give it the name Space Mountain 2 just to be a draw because it just wasn't interesting. Like, nobody cared. Nobody had this attachment to Jules Verne.
I think we're done with no IPs. I think, I mean...
Like, no more Frontierland, no more Fantasyland.
No, because this is the thing. You go to Universal Studios and, like, the lack of IP is what makes me, like, not love it. Or the lack of consistent IP, too. It just, it feels... But you walk into Harry Potter Land and you're like, oh my God, this is great.
But what about
and
Simpsons Land? What about Smurfs? What about, like all these other things?
Simpsons Land. Some people love Simpsons Land. I don't love Simpsons Land because I'm not a huge fan of Simpsons. No. But, like, I get, like, you know, people... It draws people. It creates, like, this otherworldly experience. It's like, that's why you go to amusement parks, because you want to kind of be taken to another world.
Another thing that was in that those videos we were watching last night, Leo, was them saying that, like, Universal started the Ride the Movie experiences with attractions and Disney copied them, and now they're just, like, stuck doing it because it is what people kind of prefer. In my experience, you know, there are people who are mad about, you know, different IPs coming to places like Epcot or to the Tokyo parks. But in my experience, they're mad if it's done cheaply in a way that seems like Disney can just, like, replace it really quickly if they need to. If it's done really well and permanently, like, nobody has an issue with
it. Like Monsters.
Well, and
no, that is, like an Guardians. Example of a cheap redo.
I think Guardians, when they took over Tower of Terror, I think they enhanced it and made it better. And everybody who's listened to the show knew I was not
But Tower of Terror wasn't a failure.
But I think like...
What's it called?
Superstar Limo.
Superstar Limo was, like, tragic.
Right. Even though Guardians, you could say, like, is as good as its predecessor,
it also was IP-based,
It's still a screen-based attraction that can be swapped out for a different IP at any moment if they really wanted it to. Something that is more permanent is, like, Atlantica in Tokyo Disney Sea is a very well-done permanent space that they would have to bulldoze completely to turn into something else.
Right.
When IPs are done in a really well-thought-out way...
Theoretically, I guess they could, like... hollow it out and reformat the cave. You know what I mean?
But I mean, the whole thing looks like a mermaid castle.
Yeah, but that's just like finishing.
Sometimes, like, for example, like Pirates, I just rewrote it on Sunday and I love the changes they made to it. And they took away a lot of the IP they tried to force into it from more recent movies. Yeah. And I think by taking a lot of that away, you went back to like the classic Pirates that we loved, but still just had little nods to the movie, but you didn't feel like it was over the top or like inconsistent anymore. Like, thank God they took Davy Jones away. It was
Monet,
so stupid.
Monet has a question that I think we can examine actually really well. What if they built a brand new park? Do you think it would be strictly IPs or would they still have a Main Street and a Fantasyland? Shanghai Disneyland is not that old. It literally it's in its 2-year anniversary like this month. And all of it is based on IP. Like, literally all of it.
Yeah.
It has a Main Street. It's called Mickey Avenue, but it's Main Street.
California Adventure was such a bomb when it opened. I mean, it did not draw in the crowds.
And it was no IP.
No IP.
California Adventure 1.0.
Of course, to be fair, it was a terrible concept. Like, all of the sites of California, but, like, in one place, but not really the real places. So the idea behind it was that they found that Disneyland is basically like a day trip. So people would go for a day or two and then go to the other sites in California, like the Golden Gate Bridge and so on and so forth. And so they were like, well, why don't we build a park right across the way with all of those sites so they can just go over there and see them.
They wanted to expand the Disneyland experience.
Yeah, and that's a terrible idea.
Terrible.
Like, to be fair, someone's saying, like, Disney's been doing Ride the Movies since 1955.
Like, with Fantasyland.
Peter Pan.
Yeah.
But, first of all, extremely... like low budget, a dark ride is not the same as Back to the Future. Very different experiences. It's not the same as Star Tours. And second of all, they didn't have the number of IP that they have today in 1955. They had like three movies. So they had to be creative. They had to be like, also visit the West. Also go to space. These are the things that children dream of, because they weren't dreaming of Frozen yet. They didn't know what that was. They had Dumbo, they had Peter Pan, and they had Snow White.
And Dumbo's, That's it. They're all sad.
And they were all the same thing. Like Disney was like fantasy things. Like it wasn't taking you to like these crazy foreign exotic worlds yet. Like Disney hadn't reached that state, so they had to improvise. They had to create that experience. They had to create a way for you to escape reality. Now, the movies are the way you escape reality, mm-hmm. and they make a new one to cover a new genre that you haven't seen before.
Well, also new ones to fit into these lands.
Right.
Yeah. I think exactly. We will continue to see some non-IP lands, but with IP attractions. Because, like, in Shanghai, there's still Tomorrowland with Buzz, with Tron.
But then again, that's legacy, too, right? Like, Tomorrowland
is Disney. Even the there is a land that's pirates themed,
but Jules Verne's I think like that land is like the best example.
But in Shanghai, you know what I mean? Like, there's Adventure Isle.
Yes,
is pirate themed. It's not all themed to the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, even though that
there's
one
a lot
ride
of Peter Pan
there.
In there.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of Peter Pan. There's Tarzan in there, which, by the way, they completely removed Clayton.
Also, they do have that one Adventureland like area that has the river rapids that we didn't go on, and the adventure trail that are both non-IP things.
You see like little glimmers of these other sort of bigger ideas that IPs can fit within, which is smart because that way they can continue to rotate things out as they need.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we'll see a full park dedicated to non-IP.
Well, no.
Are we going to get another Hollywood Studios? You know what I mean?
Even that was all non-IP. You know what I mean?
But I mean, like, the idea of the park is Hollywood Studios. You know what I mean? Right. It's not the Magic Kingdom, like Disney. Magic Kingdom sort of just
Is like every time you open a new park in a new country, it's like you have to have a Magic Kingdom. Right. And then if you do a second park, it's something different.
Whatever, yeah.
There's never going to be like crazy. A new park that's like the first park in its area that's not a Magic
Kingdom. So let me ask you, like, what would you like to see a park based on? If you could do anything. And I'll ask the chat, too. I'm like, what would you do?
Well, I thought it would have been way smarter just to do a Star Wars theme park.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or do something that's like a sci-fi park that has Marvel, that has Star Wars, that has Tron.
Right. Adventure park or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I just wish that had been its own park instead of being inside Disneyland, but it is what it is. So,
all of these thoughts are interesting and fascinating. We could talk about them forever, but we don't have that much time, so we have to sort of scoot along, which is a shame. I would love to spend like a whole episode just talking about this. This is really fun for me. Sarah is now just recently discovering that I like theme parks. I don't know.
No, I knew you like theme parks.
What
it's
is
like,
this documentary that you guys watch? I'm very
interested.
He introduced me to Defunct Land on YouTube, which is really
amazing
cool. You guys should watch it if you love parks history.
Can you guys make a sound clip of that? Leo introduced Sarah to Defunct Land.
He did introduce me, but it's so funny because when I started watching it, I was like, "This is like the stuff that I love. Why were you watching it?"
And then I literally pointed to the picture of the Haunted Mansion signed by Bob Gurr and Marty Sklar behind me, which I had them sign because I love the history of the rides, especially the Haunted Mansion.
I know that you love what you love, but also like you don't know anything about Epcot. You had never heard anything about Journey into Imagination with Figment. But yeah, but it's just like you've never shown an interest in learning more than about your favorite rides before.
No, we just never talked about it. That's the difference.
I love when couples who've been dating for a while discover something that they didn't
know. But she's like
mad
at me.
I just was like,
you're not allowed to
like this. No, you're allowed to. I was just like, this. Yes, of course I would like this. Like, it's my favorite thing ever. Like, why were you watching this without me?
Why weren't you listening to my needs?
Anyway,
Leo, what do you want to say about Incredibles 2? I think we're going to go spoilers for the last 5 minutes of the show.
We have 5 minutes left,
So if you don't want to hear spoilers, goodbye until next week. Go for it, Leo.
Okay, Incredibles 2. Brad Bird does it again and again and again and again. Incredibles 2 was Incredibles. It was too incredible. I thought that the movie itself was so tight. It was, every scene was good and contributed to the story and contributed to character development, of which every single character got. I didn't feel like anybody was left out. Dash was a little shortchanged, but I let it go because in the last movie, Dash got one of the most intense action sequences in the entire movie, so I can let that slide. He got the running on water away from this flying saucer, guys. And I thought the pacing was so crisp. The villain twist, I saw it coming a mile away, but it didn't affect the way that I felt about it. It was. I still wanted to know how they were going to resolve the issue. I still wanted to find out more about her motivation. I wanted to find out how she would plan. Like, what? I thought her plan was a little shallow. Like, I was like, okay, so you want to kill supers because they were illegal ones, but now they're not illegal anymore.
No, she wants to kill supers because she blames supers for her dad and her mom. Her dad dying.
She thinks
and
that they
her
make people
died.
Weak. She thinks that like, having them makes people not fend for themselves.
Yeah, I get that. But then, like, it's like then she just takes advantage of people's weaknesses at the same time.
Right.
So, like,
well, she wanted to point out, like, you guys aren't living your life. You're relying on these people. But also, the thing that I pointed out was that she would have done nothing if her brother weren't really pushing for it.
Like, it was,
supers
it was
were
almost
illegal.
Like this isn't Winston. Something that she spent her life dwelling on. There is sort of a lean towards that when she's arguing with her brother and she says, like, well, I think they should have gone to
there's definitely a revenge element in her story.
But it feels like something? She just made it up at the last second.
Animation Geek says, I don't think this is a feminist movie. Both Helen's doing heroic actions, and Edna says parenting can be a heroic act if done properly. I want to point out that feminism is good for men in that it, like, pushes forward, like, stereotypically feminine things as being for everybody.
Equal.
And it makes men be able to be vulnerable and feel okay being emotional, and feminism is good
which
for
are
everybody.
Traditionally.
Those are feminist mm-hmm. things. Like, yeah. The parenting part, Bob's storyline is
I
very
I thought it was
feminist.
All well balanced, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't seem like it was rubbing it in your face. Like, they were praising him for being a good dad, and
right.
they were praising her because she's an apt superhero, not because, yeah, she's a woman, and that helps, sure, but, like, there is a trail that points to the fact that she's been more successful in minimizing damage
right.
and property loss and casualties than Bob has.
And I don't think it has to do with, like, Bob being, like, a bad superhero,
no.
but that's his super...
Right.
He is super strength. She's
right.
Elastigirl. When
right.
you have super
strength,
you break stuff.
And also, yeah. like, it teaches you, like, it doesn't matter how strong you are. Sometimes you got to check your ego.
And he learned a
yeah.
lesson about how
lesson.
Hard it is to be a stay-at-home
mm-hmm.
parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool, too. I thought that the kids were well done. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like they developed a lot, especially Jack-Jack, obviously.
Well, and I felt like they were super realistic, even
yeah.
more so than, like, the first movie. I felt like I related, like, if mm-hmm, I was mm-hmm. a teenager or Dash's, like, age, I would have been like, oh my god, these are my siblings, this is me right now, this
yeah.
is, you know, the family dynamic was much more, like, natural
yeah.
to me.
It was more cohesive, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, one thing we pointed out is, like, this is almost the same plot as Incredibles 1.
Yeah.
That a bad guy with no powers uses technology to fight the superheroes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really care. Like,
I don't care
that it was the villain was predictable. I don't care.
It didn't hold it back.
Yeah, like, I was like, it was
no.
great.
Oh, and in terms of character development, by the way, all of the fight scenes, everybody got a moment to shine, except for Dash, but that's okay.
I thought Dash got to shine in so many other ways.
I feel like
he was
hilarious.
Yeah.
He was funny in small moments, but, like, action-wise, I mean, everybody, because like I said, he got the big action scene last time, but this time we got to see Frozone fight, like, five supers and really go to town with his powers against the Underminer. You still see, like, obviously Elastigirl just crushing it with her powers. Violet really finding creative ways to use her force field against, like, Void.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really neat. It felt like everybody got a moment to shine. And it actually looked a lot more like Brad Bird style. It looked more Iron Giant-y, especially with the goggles.
Yeah.
It definitely had that flair.
A little steampunky.
Yeah, it did have a little bit of it.
The one thing I did not like about it, I don't know, did you see it twice, Leo?
No, I've only seen it once.
I thought it was better on the second viewing.
Oh, really? Okay.
I had so much more fun on the second viewing, but I did not like all the other random superheroes. I felt like a lot of time was wasted on them, and it was I wanted more
they
just on the family.
Better.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I really, really liked the scene where they come to the house, and
yes.
it's very creepy.
Superheroes
yeah,
fighting superheroes. We've been wanting to watch that.
But I didn't, like, I don't know. I just didn't like the design of them really well.
They were a little,
really
I
they were a little
they were
too
I liked Void,
and,
but the other
yeah,
ones
Void
were whatever.
Was
the
cool.
other one, I liked, what's his name, Screech? The owl.
The owl.
But, like, he would have, I liked them within a group, but the rest of the group kind of felt flat. Like, can
Brick?
You even, yeah, Brick was kind of, I like Brick, like, I like the idea of a big, strong woman character, kind of like,
Brick was a guy.
Was it a guy?
Yeah. We have no idea, I don't think.
Well, maybe that's even better then. But sort of like Gina Carano's character in Deadpool, like she's, you know, feminine, but she's super big and strong and fights Colossus. I like that. But yeah, then the other guys are sort of forgettable, like the Electra guy, what's his name? You know?
I don't know.
Void was cool, the fact that she fought with
Brick
portals.
Is a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, Brick's
oh.
a woman.
I'm sorry.
And
only
then Acid Reflux was kind of like boring. Like he was funny. He was like a good gag, but he wasn't like, pun intended. But he wasn't, I didn't think he was that interesting as a villain.
Eliana said, I think it's hilarious that the Underminer was never captured.
Yeah, he's still at large.
Oh, yeah, he's still
at large.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we all loved it.
I thought it was great. I highly recommend you go see it if you haven't. If you've already seen it, go see it again. Yep. Yeah, voice powers were awesome. Has anybody played Portal? Because they were inspired by it, the game Portal. It was really fun to see how they used that as a power.
We're
so creative.
So I think the best sequence of the entire movie was Jack versus the raccoon.
Yeah, oh, iconic.
It's iconic for sure.
Yeah, instant Disney. Iconic scene.
I think so the house funny. Scene was my favorite. Frozone coming to protect the kids.
Oh, that scene was so creepy.
That's the best. That's the best scene. Frozone's my favorite character in The Incredibles because I love ice powers and I love Samuel Jackson. Yeah, like you can't lose. But that scene where he's protecting the kids and they call him Uncle Lucius, like I freaking love that.
Yeah.
You know?
One thing, I saw this movie not too long ago as well. One thing I really would like to see is like a short, maybe, with Edna Mode and Jack-Jack and call it Jack-Jack Mode.
Yeah, like what happened? Oh, what happened when he was staying there?
That part was also so good.
That was such a good part.
Every scene was good.
She was so disgusted with him, and then you immediately, like that switch, it was just...
I laughed so hard.
And that's the thing
about this. I've never laughed so much through an entire like Pixar movie. Like usually I'm bawling at one point. Mm-hmm. And that's what the one thing I've heard people who didn't like it as much, they're like, I miss the Pixar heart that is in most Pixar movies, you know, when they punch you in the gut.
There wasn't that moment that there is in the first one where Bob literally thinks his entire family is dead.
Yeah.
The first one's a lot darker.
Yeah.
But I was fine with it because we got like so much of that with Coco.
I
like that it's like, okay, you don't have to tug at our heartstrings every single time. Like, you can also deliver high intensity action in an animated format. I think that's really cool. I completely agree with you. Yeah. Also, and I felt like there was never a scene that let you down. It was like every scene had a payoff, you know? Yeah. Like the furniture scene was good, even though it was like a quiet moment. The restaurant scene where they go and like...
when she spit the stuff out of her nose.
Like, why are they putting this in... never mind.
My dad's done that to me too. He's like brought me to a place where I had a crush on a boy and I was going to kill him.
Dash is just like, well...
Yeah, and my little sister and brother would be like...
Also, the epilepsy scene I thought was really cool. When the screen slaver fights Elastigirl in the cage.
That was so,
so cool.
That
sequence was so good. And just the way they laid it all out, it was so creepy. This green slaver is such a creepy idea. I don't know. And when she's swinging through the city to get to this.
And you hear the audio. That part was so cool.
Damn, this movie's good.
Anyway, I think that's all the time we have for tonight.
Yeah.
So many interesting conversations.
So many. Go see Jurassic World, yes. A lot of the chat's asking if you should go see it. Jurassic World.
Thanks for watching Disney News Weekly tonight. I'm Sarah G. Sterling on Instagram, and follow The Popcorn Talk on Twitter @ThePopcornTalk.
That's right. I'm Leo Camacho. You can follow me on Instagram @MrLeoZombie or @LeoZombie on Twitter.
And I'm Keaton Markey, and you guys can follow me all over the interwebs @KeatonMarkey.
And we'll talk about Bao next week.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Oh, Bao!
Bye, guys.
Later.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.